Amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles. Your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Peter. Book of 1 Peter. I appreciate I've had Katie choosing the songs for me these past couple weeks, and it ends up being better than the ones I try to pick. I try to pick songs that go with the message I'm going to preach, and so I spend forever trying to find songs that go with the message I'm trying to preach, and then at the end I'm like, okay, there's this one, and then obviously she doesn't know what I'm going to preach, and so she's picking out some of the songs that maybe she likes to play or whatever, and it goes more with the message I'm preaching than when I try to put them with the message I'm preaching. Isn't it good when God leads? And I mean, the truth is, we go through the hymnal, all of them go with it, but it's really what I want to preach a message this morning, really about this is salvation is secure. Salvation is secure, and we're going to look at this in a moment. 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, I probably should turn there, I told you to. 1 Peter chapter 1, as soon as you find your place, if you stand together with me, we're going to be starting in verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. I know we've been on 1 Peter for about a month, but I mostly promise you, I'm intending to finish chapter 1 this morning. I hate to promise because you never know. I might get bogged down somewhere, but I think we're planning on getting the end of chapter 1. Again, I always say we're not trying to get through it, but sometimes we belabor too long somewhere. Y'all are like, come on, can we move on? And so there's a lot to preach here. There's a lot in this book that's a little bit different than really a lot of the other Bible. What we have in 1 Peter, it's really dealing with a different period of time. It's dealing with a period of time that's going into some great persecution. And so he's dealing with setting the people up and trying to help them to see what's going to be, what's happening in some of these things. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Bible says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Let's pray together. Our Father, we are thankful today. Thankful for the opportunity we have to gather together in your house, to meet together because of our common desire to know you, because of our common interest in the power and the presence of our Savior, of our Father. And Lord, I pray this morning that you'd help us as we go into your Word, what you've given us to lead, guide, and direct us. Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear. Lord, I pray that you'd give us tender hearts, that we would receive this message from your Word unto our hearts. Lord, it might make a lasting impression on our lives. Lord, pray that you'd lead, guide, and direct in this hour, Lord, in this time, this morning. We'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Number one is this. You must be born again. You must be born again. I want to jump to the middle of the message to get where I want to get to, but I'm going to try to go in order. All right? You must be born again. Everything in the Christian life turns on this access of this thing of being born again. Everything is on this, which is why Peter constantly went back to this same topic. He constantly goes back to this, the same subject of our salvation in Christ. He continually goes back to it because everything in Christianity really pivots on this one thing about being born again. So until you can know 100% sure that you're saved. No, get this, folks, this morning. Get this. Don't miss this, because if we miss this, we're going to find... Listen, until you know 100% sure that you're saved, all of the rest of the Bible will be pointless. No. Well, you know, it still has some things that help. No, I'm telling you, it's pointless. Because the purpose of this book is to get us ready for eternity. It's really it. It's to get us ready for eternity. Well, you're like, well, there's some things in here that help us live this life well. Absolutely. Absolutely. But if you try to live this life by this without Him, it's going to be miserable. Whew. It's going to be pointless. Matter of fact, it's going to be tough. Trying to live like a Christian without Christ is one of the most miserable lives on this planet. The other one is living with Christ, with salvation, and trying to live like the world. That's a little more miserable, by the way. But those things... So listen, what I want to say. You say, can we really know 100%? You think of a really complex answer on that. Yes. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Well, he means kind of like know, right? No. No means we know. It means we can know. If I don't know, that I'm saved and on my way to heaven, the only thing I care about, if I'm interested in God, the only thing I care about is getting to know that. So, if I don't know, my whole Christian life pivots on getting to know. So if my whole life is pivoting on, I hope so, I think so, I might so, I'm not pivoting. My life is not centered around living for Him. My life is centered on trying to figure it out and then believing that I can't never know it. Man, that's called complicated. What a frustrating life. For God to say, do such and such, and we say, I'm trying, but I don't think you really can. Can I say someone that says, I don't think you can really know that you're saved, that doesn't come from the book. It doesn't come from the Spirit of God. It comes from two places. It comes from the flesh and the devil. It does not come from the Word of God. Well, I just don't think we can really know. Anybody that says that, I don't know that we have a group. I don't think anybody here says that. But I want to just say this so you can tell to other people, right? Is this, if anybody that says, I don't think we can really know, can I say they don't know my Savior? They don't know Him. And so we can know. So it's trying to be a Christian without being redeemed from the penalty of your sin is utterly worthless. Utterly worthless. You know, I visited many, many people. I can't even tell you how many people I've talked to through my 30 years of preaching, 30 years of being really, almost 30 years. I've been saved almost 30 years. This February will be 30 years. And I've been preaching almost from the first year I was saved. And from all my years and visiting people, knocking on doors, just visiting, talking to people about the Lord, so many people I've talked to that said this, well, I've been a pretty good person. Tried real hard. I've done I've done the best I can, right? You've heard that. If you talk to me, and maybe you've said things like that before salvation, right? Maybe you've said these kind of things. Listen, I want to just say this to us this morning. There will be no consolation prize in eternity for those that meant well. Well, God knows my heart. Ah, that's a terrible one to use. He knows our heart, and it's desperately wicked. Well, God knows my heart. Yeah, He knows it's wicked. We're all like that. Don't use the worst of yourself to say God knows me and He's going to let give me. Well, He's going to weigh my good and bad. No, our weighing our good and bad is a lose-lose. We don't have any good to put up there, so it's all bad. So I've done some good things. No, what God calls good and what we call good can be vast difference, okay? So there's no consolation prize in eternity for those that meant well but never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Well, but I tried. No. As a matter of fact, the Scripture tells us that on that day, those that did not receive Christ as their Savior will be told, Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Wow. We're talking about people that say, Lord, Lord, they're going to say, Lord, Lord, I've done this, I've done this, and I've done this. And He's going to say, I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity. You're like, whoa, I went to church, I read my Bible, I remember I got the ribbons in Sunday school. I mean, we don't give out ribbons anymore, but that's an old time thing, right? I did all the things, I did all this, and you're saying that's going to count for nothing? That's exactly what I'm saying. That's not very nice. But it's true. Do you want me to be nice or truthful? Could you do both, please, preacher? Okay. I'm going to get to the nice. We are. But I want to set this first because we got to get point one before we can get to point two, right? So no amount of being good, of being a good person, or trying real hard, or of doing your best will do. None of it. Many people live a very frustrated life trying to do their best and coming short of the glory of God. All of our efforts are but corruptible things that will perish with this earth. Verse 18, I had read it already, but he says this, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. See, listen, if salvation will come to you, if you will be born again, as he said in John 3:3, and he's going to say it here a little bit later here in 1 Peter, it will not be because of the result of your own efforts in this life. Not even the very best of things that you have done. You say, you've said that about three times already. I'm trying to just establish this. Amen? Trying to establish this. You're like, we know this, preacher. I know. I know you know it, but just in case you don't know it, now you know it. You know? Somebody says, know what? You know? And so that's why you got to repeat. That's why the Bible repeated, because sometimes we'll sit there and I'm caught over on this thing, and finally, about the fourth time. Look at verse 19 again. He says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's it. No, you must be born again. So, when that's settled, then we can move on to the next amazing truth. It gets a little bit nicer, okay? It is frustrating, folks, that I'm trying hard. I can remember going through life as a kid. I was, bus would pick me up and take me, the van. We did vans in those days. We did cargo vans. When I was a kid, it was a cargo van. I mean, I can't think. Remember the white vans? That's what we were put in. Man, I'm thinking about that. If we did that today, we go to jail. I'm telling you, preacher, you're going to jail. You cannot throw kids in a cargo van, slide that door. So we did it. We packed in there. No seats, set on the floor. I didn't even think it weird. I just, that was the 70s, I don't know. So we're in there and they take us to church. I just appreciate somebody using their cargo van. I don't know, maybe they use it for work during the week. And man, so we went there they gave free donuts. I ate them all. Can I go use the restroom? I'd go to the restroom and eat donuts. And that's why I'm still working off that. It started a bad habit. No, but what I'm saying, folks, is all through that time, I would have thought that, I'm going to church. I know about God, right? That's probably enough. I'm going to do some things. I'm going to memorize some verses and all this, but never. When I got to be older, I looked back to those times. I thought, I did that, so that's probably good enough. I can remember one time my cousin, he was older than me. I could still see, we're right there next to the Missouri River, under a bridge. What are teenage boys doing there? Bad stuff. And we're down there, and I can remember being there. I could still see in my mind, I still see that. And he came up to me, he had a group of friends with him, and I was with me and another one of my cousins. We come up and he said, just out of the blue, he said, do you believe in God? Why is he asking me that now in front of all these guys? And I thought, what on earth? Why is he doing that? I hate stuff like that, especially at that. I'm like, Why? And he just looked at me. And I said, why? And he said, well, you better. I'm like, oh, man, he was just, I don't know what, you know, and I still remember that. Like, well, I was probably, I don't know, 13, 14 years old. Like, why do you remember that? I don't know, because it was a time that I would have said I believed in Christ and I believed in God, but really when it came down to it, my cousins and friends, I'd be willing to say, I don't know. That's something. We say we believe in God, but we don't know. Listen, there's nothing that we can do to get that thing settled. But put our faith and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, when we get it settled, here's the next thing. Point number two. Salvation is secure in God. Verse 21. Who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Okay, look here. Our faith and hope is not in us. Right? It's not in our ability to be as holy as we ought to be. Back there he says, be holy as I am holy, saith the Lord. All right? Or, be holy for I am holy. That's because it's written that way. He says this. He said, listen, are we to be holy as believers? Yes, that's what he says. Be holy. But can I tell you this? My hope and my faith isn't in my ability to be holy. No, our faith and hope is in Him. The one who raised up Christ from the dead. That's who I'm hoping in. Right? The same that glorified Jesus. My hope is not in me to get through this life. My hope is in Him to get me through this life because I put my trust in Him. Listen, therefore, He is our hope. Peter is writing to a people that have already settled this matter. They've already settled it. They've settled this matter in the past. And they've already been born again. So that's who he's writing to. I want you to get this. Look here. This is not a gospel presentation he's given him. This is being written to save people that have already put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And so this is not a gospel message here, but it's rather a confirmation of their security in Christ. Because folks, many people can struggle with this thing. And let me redo this thing again. So if I am saved, but I constantly doubt that I'm saved, am I saved? Did I really trust Christ? You know what I'm doing if I'm not sure? I'm trying to make sure. But you know what? If I keep going back in this cycle that I think I'm saved, but I'm not sure I'm saved. So every time I make sure I'm saved, you know what I end up doing? I get back here and say, but am I? I've seen it with people. They'll come in and they'll make a profession of faith. Trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Youth camp was a great time for this. Youth kids would come. You get a bunch of kids come and get saved. Next year we come to youth camp. A lot of those same kids would get saved again. And then next year they get saved again and again. Right? And then it's again and again and again. And you know what the problem is? By the way, adults will do that same thing. Spend their life saying, I'm not sure because I've made some mistakes, I've messed up. So could I be saved? And so there's this thing going back and forth. Or, as we see what Peter is writing to people that are coming through some persecution, trouble comes, and if trouble's coming to me, I must have been bad. Right? By the way, that's stinking thinking. That's not what God says at all. We don't find that in here. There is some chastisement from the Lord, but chastisement from the Lord is to draw us back in. It's for His children. Matter of fact, I like to say if there's some chastisement coming to you, it's really evidence that we're His child. I don't discipline other people's children. I discipline my own. Not enough evidence. No, I'm kidding. And so what I'm saying is this is how this works. And so sometimes we can get caught in this loop. This was a message of giving them confirmation of their security in Christ. Look at verse 22. He said, seeing ye have, watch this phrase, purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Wow. It's kind of... He says, you have purified your souls. I like having a pure soul. Amen? Feels weird to think that. If somebody came up and said, "You got a pretty pure soul," that'd be a pretty good compliment, wouldn't it? You've got one of the purest souls I've ever seen. You'd be like, "Ha, amen." I always knew I did. I just need somebody else to say it. You know, we could kind of get a little bit. It's kind of some phraseology sometimes in the Bible. We're like, is that really right? It's what he says here. Look, you know what he's trying to say? This is settled. This is settled. It's salvation. There's no need to fear. There's no need to worry. No matter the conditions that goes around you, or the persecutions, or the challenges of life. Y'all know anybody that's ever had challenges in life? Yeah. You ever known anybody that hasn't had? I mean, babies are coming out fussing. You know what I'm saying? We have challenges in life. Challenges can get heavy on us. He said, and by the way, this was a time, it's going to be bad. The government persecution is going to be death. We talked about later on in 13, 14, 1500s, Christians were being burned at the stake. This was happening in mass then too. Right? You say, could that ever come back again? Oh, it is coming back again. It is coming back again, at least in the tribulation. I don't know if it's going to be burned at the stake. There's going to be a lot of people dying during that time for their standing up for Christ. A lot of martyrs, the book of Revelation tells us. So, is it going to happen again in our day? I hope not. But I'm telling you, this is something that was going on and on. And he said, listen, when these things come, none of these things, these do not affect our security in Christ. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 8. He said, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels," not even angels can get a hold of this thing, right? "Nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come," nothing in the future, "nor height," nothing up in the air, "nor depth," nothing in the sea, nor any other creatures shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I think it covers about everything. I mean, nothing. This is what it means to have our faith and our hope in God. Once my hope is there, I am secure. Look now back at verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. He says this. We did this a few weeks ago, but he says, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." You have a purified soul, is what he says in verse 22. Purified soul. So, we're secure. Once we're saved, we're secure, folks. Don't live in a kind of life that is constantly juggling that thing. Can I be real honest with you? I've never experienced this. I never, from the time I got saved very early on, I was so ready. I was seeking God. And I mean, He was drawing me. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But when I heard the gospel the first time I got saved, I heard the gospel. I've been going around church and I was trying to go to church. I was trying to, but I didn't know what I was even looking for. And I'm telling you, when I finally heard the gospel message that salvation is not in me doing, but in Him, but in putting my trust in Him, I said, "That's what I'm looking for." I went down the aisle and got the trust of Christ that day. And I said, "God, if this is true, I'm going to believe all of it." And I've through the years, I've met people and I've dealt with people that just struggle with this thing. And we'll sit back here in the office and we'll talk to people about, you know, and you know, kids that will come. We had this year at Vacation Bible School, young lady that's been in this church a long time. She's come and made several professions of faith. And we talked to her. I said, "Hey, you know, aren't you, do you believe you're saved? Did you ever trust Jesus Christ as your Savior?" She said, "Yeah." what are you doing here? Well, I don't know. man, I watch people through. She's a kid. So sometimes it can be sometimes confusing. But adults that would spend their lives saying, "I wish I could get there. I wish I could." What a miserable life. That's not what God has for us. What He has for us is a security in Him. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Man, so which takes us to the third point is this. Therefore, continue. Okay. First we must be born again. And then we must know that we're born again. That's it. I trust it. I believe it. I believe not me, but I believe Him. I trust Him. And I'm putting my faith in Him. He is my hope. Now I know it. Now I don't have to worry about that. Now I'm in Christ. Now continue. Okay, look at verse 17. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. Okay, so he says this, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. This is now the axis of your life. The very center of who you are. When you've been born again, you've got a purified soul, right? That's the very center of our life. Everything in your life revolves around this new purified soul. Everything. Listen, it's like a sun with beams coming out of it. That's the center is being born again. Everything else that comes out of my life comes out of that. Because I'm born again, it affects the decisions I make. You see, because I'm born again, it affects the track of life I'm going to follow. Because I've been born again, it's going to determine how I'm going to raise my children. I'm not going to raise my children like Dr. Spock. I'm going to raise my children like the Word of God says. I'm not going to treat my wife like my neighbor treats his wife. I'm going to treat my wife like the Word of God says. Right? And or if you're a wife, you know, used to treat... I'll give you some verses. No. Oh. What I'm saying is, y'all see what I'm saying? There's so many things in here now. It now affects everything. It's going to affect the friendships I'm going to have. It's going to affect the language that I speak. It's going to affect the thinking that I have. Man, it's everything. You know why? Because I now have a purified soul. It's different. By the way, some of this becomes... I have a friend. It becomes intuitive. I have a friend that many years ago after he got saved, and he would tell a story, and I wished he was in shape to come. He's not, but and he would say his dad was a Teamsters boss and union boss and all this kind of thing. He grew up in some really rough areas, and so he would do all these things. He said one night he went, got saved, he came, and what they did every Friday after work is they went to the bar. So he just got saved. I think it was on a Wednesday night. So Friday, they went to the bar and they're going around and sitting at the table and saying, "What do you know? You want your usual, get to him." And he said, "I don't know what happened." He said, "I just said, I have a Coke." And so one of the other guys said, "A Coke?" Right? Just like, "What is wrong with you?" And he said, "Well, I went to church and got saved." He said, "Oh no, you got some religion. Don't worry, it'll wear off, right?" You know, and it didn't. But I'm telling you, sometimes there's some things that just because when we get a purified, it just starts changing things in our life. Right? Something, it becomes the very center of who we are. Our life now revolves around that because you have been born again. Look at verse 23. It tells us right here. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So, what brought about this purification of your soul? The incorruptible seed of the Word of God. I don't know, the Bible's just too hard to understand. Right? Let me say this. I'm going to be mean again for a minute, just for a minute, and I'm going to get back to nice, okay? If you would say, the Bible's too hard to understand, I don't like reading it because it's too hard to understand, What that actually reveals is that the Spirit of God, who is the teacher, is not in you. If it's too hard to understand the Word of God, if it's too hard. I'm not saying there's a challenge. Study to show thyself approved. I mean, it takes some work. But if you say it's too hard to understand, I don't even want to get in. It's the Spirit of God that teaches us all truth. And so if you can't understand it, it's because something's missing. You know what? The being born again. Right? But once this is here, he said, listen, you're born again. It's this incorruptible seed. The incorruptible seed of the Word of God. If it was up to you and me to keep ourselves born again, we would be of all men most miserable. Can I tell you this, folks? I have personally made some enormous messes of my own life. Can I tell you, I've made some grand mistakes that the scars still ride with you. You ever had things that you've done way back there that as much as you want to get rid of it, it just, and I know it's been forgiven, it's under the blood, but it just comes back in, right? Don't you wish you could just squash that thing and get rid of it? You know, no, the Lord said, I put it in the deepest part of the ocean. The Bible says, God said He puts it behind His back. And He says He will remember it no more. I want to say, God, could you help me not to remember it no more? He said, no, you need to remember where you came from. And so He's kept that. I don't like it. But can I tell you, I've made some enormous messes in my life. I've failed. I've done wrong. I've chosen foolishly. I've doubted. I've denied and I've forsaken. If it was up to me to purify my soul, I would need to be born again and again and again. Thankfully, it's not up to me. It's not up to me. I'm born again based on the incorruptible Word of God. So, when this whole earth is withered away into nothing. By the way, this whole planet is going to burn up, right? That's what the Bible tells us. It's going to burn up. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. What's that going to look like? You have to wait and see, right? But when all that's done, the Word of God will still abide. That's what it tells. Look at verse 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Okay. Takes us to point number four. This is now what's preached unto you. This is it, folks. This book, these things that God has given to us to preach today, they're going to abide forever. No, I mean, this isn't just a book. I mean, this isn't just some men that wrote some things down, right? Do you think God has something He wants to tell us? You know what I like? I kind of wished I was in the old time, in the Old Testament times, where when God wanted to say something to us, He spoke to the prophet face to face, or got in a dream, God spoke to the prophet. And when God speaks to you like that, you don't say, I wonder who that was. No, you know who it was. They'd fall on their face type of thing, right? And then the prophet would stand up and say, God told me to tell you this. And by the way, if I tell you God told me to tell you and it doesn't come true, I'm dead. Right? Because if a prophet lied saying God told him he didn't, he would be stoned to death. You don't go around making up stuff. That's why there was no TV evangelists back then. Okay, and there was no TV. But I'm just saying, folks, this is it, folks. This book right here, it's going to abide forever. And today, it's preached to us. It's preached to you. Wouldn't it be a shame? Wouldn't it be a shame if for there to be someone sitting here in this congregation this morning that would hear the gospel and yet delay to receive it and say, you know, I just, sounds good, but I don't think I want that. There was a stack of $100 bills up here. And I said, I'm giving one to each one that comes up here. There wouldn't be a line, there'd be a mob. Right? No, line up neatly. No, there wouldn't be no, it'd be like getting kindergartners to line up for a snack. No, they just, right? And so, for that, it's like we, you know, because we see that and we want to get a hold of that. Man, this is what we have is $100. This silver and gold can't buy what Christ, a purified soul. If you're here and you're not 100% sure of your eternity, please do not miss this occasion to receive the purification of your soul even today. But for those of us that have already have that assurance, let us continue in this. Folks, that's the two things. Either you're the sure of it or you need to get sure of it. This book, if you're sure of it, continue with this book is the only thing on this planet that will endure forever. The Word of God is the only thing that's going to endure forever. So because of that, it's worth investing your time to get to know it. By the way, let me say this right here. I don't want to park here too long, but I'm going to just clear up a little space just for a minute. Knowing the Word of God is not knowing it in theory, but actually finding out what God has said in it. I've met people that were staunch King James only, and they have. I remember there's this pastor had a King James on the storefront. KJV 1611 had just this huge. And I've met people through the years that were just so. And they would talk about how, I can remember this family I met, became so clear to, just evidently clear, they talked about how the Bible, they were afraid that they would get corruption from it and some from other places, and so they wanted this, and then I was talking to them about coming to church, they said, yeah, we work, we really don't have time to come to church. And they talked, they spent time talking about how important the Word of God was. But then they talked about how unimportant meeting with Him was. And I thought, wow. I can remember walking away from that meeting just like kind of in a daze, honestly. I was in a daze. I thought, this isn't about, something's mixed up here. Something was mixed up in their head somehow. And what we got very proud of being very firm on something we hardly get into. I believe the Bible. Which part? All of it. Well, what's your favorite verse? I just like all of them. You know, who's your favorite character? Oh, it has to be, my favorite character has to be like, you know, Jesus. Who's your second favorite? You know, that other guy? You say, no, people wouldn't be like that. Oh, it's kind of scary. It's kind of scary. It's sad. It's kind of, listen, this thing is worth investing your time to get to know it. Because it's going to be around for a long time. It means forever. And then, folks, this, the second thing with that, it's worth investing your time in living in it. I mean, all flesh and the glory of man will fall away as a blade of grass. Grass, man, it just went, you know, things mess around out here. The trees just wither up with a little bit, no water. They're done. But this right here, it's going to endure forever. So be encouraged today. We believed upon, what we've believed upon is not our own ability to endure. We have purified our souls by putting our trust in the God of the Bible. Rest in that hope and rejoice. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 and 6, and we're going to get a conclusion. We'll be done. Verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Folks, this world is full of temptations and troubles. It's not going to end while we're still here. Man, I can't wait till these troubles are over. You ever said that? I can't wait till we get past this. I've said that many times. And then you're like stepping out of trouble and you're like, you step in another pile, right, of trouble. You're like, wow, I thought we were out of that thing. Listen, while we're on this world, there's going to be trials. There's going to be temptations. There's going to be troubles. Do not let that undermine or distract you from what's coming in eternity. That's our hope, folks. Our hope is not in what's going on right now. If this is it, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. No, no, no. There's something ahead that is, let that be what our eyes are focused on, no matter what this world is going on around you. Are you continuing like you have a purified soul? That's our question. Your eternity is reserved in heaven for you. So, let's continue this life like we're on our way to that appointment. No. I'm on my appointment to my reservation. Right? If you got a reservation at a restaurant, right, you're like, we got to go. Come on, we got to go. That's what I'm saying. I mean, to one of my daughters. And we got to go. We got this appointment. Let's go. We got a reservation. We want to be there because if we're late, we're going to miss our reservation. Aren't you going to? You ain't missing this one. You know what he's going to do? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, he's going to come. He's going to blow the trumpet. The voice of God is, man, you're there. But I'm just saying, listen, folks. Let's live now like we're headed to that appointment because that's the axis of our new life. Our new life centers around. That's why that's where I'm heading to. Are you living like that? Is that what your life looks like now? Your eternity is reserved in heaven for you. Let's continue like we're on our way to that appointment. And listen. Listen, if you're here this morning, I don't know. I don't know where each one of you are. I don't know where you are necessarily. If you're here without certainty of your eternity, today is the day to choose Christ to be your Savior. I think I want to wait for another time. Pharaoh and Aaron went up to Moses. Went up to the Pharaoh. And God said to tell us, let my people go. He said, let my people go. The city was overran with frogs. Frogs in their beds. Frogs in the pillows. Frogs in the food. I don't mind a frog behind a cage. Aquarium. I don't want frogs stepping on frogs, wiping frogs off your head, your hair, ladies. I mean, I don't have any, but you get caught in your hair. Frogs everywhere you reach in. Frogs. And Moses and Aaron said, God said, let my people go. Moses said, tomorrow we'll let you go. You know, he said, I think we want to spend one more night with the frogs. Isn't that crazy? He already did. The next day he did let him go. Then he let him go. I said, no, never mind. You can't go. So, can I tell you, waiting for tomorrow is really a bad idea. Nothing else in this life will matter until you've been born again according to this eternal book. Well, you know, I think I'm saved. No. There's no thinking about it. It tells us exactly right in here. And this morning you'd say, I don't know, but I'd like to know. We could show you in the Word of God. Not our words. Not our way. We're not going to show you how to be saved the Baptist way. Isn't that good? We don't have the Baptist way of salvation. We have the Bible way of salvation. Let's all stand together. Father, I do pray that you would bless now this time of invitation. Lord, we've come this morning to hear from you and to spend time around you and your people, your word. So, Lord, I pray that it would have had some effect on our lives. And, Lord, maybe this morning there'd be some that would have a very profound effect. And, Lord, your word is it's quick and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, it cuts into our soul. Lord, that's your purpose with it. Your words are living words. Lord, it shows us things that will rip apart our ideas of this world and conform us, transform us into what you want us to be. Lord, I pray that this morning, if there's any here that are without Christ, they've never really made that decision to turn to Jesus Christ as their Savior. Maybe there's some here this morning, Lord, that if they said as they said here this morning in this listen to this message, they would have to admit that I do not know 100% sure that I'm going to heaven. I do not know that there's ever been that time that I've truly put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ according to your word. Lord, I pray that at the time of invitation, you would stir that heart, that they would come and could have someone to show them in the Word of God how they can know. And then, Lord, for those that have that surety, Lord, I pray that you would stir us to really remember that no matter what this world throws at us, that our hope is in you. Lord, would you do a work in our hearts? Encourage us this morning. We'll give you thanks for it now. In Jesus' name. Listen, if God